When working in a Linux environment, especially in a security or DevSecOps context, permission errors are among the most frequently encountered issues. They can block scripts, prevent services from starting, expose sensitive files, or hide misconfigured systems that are prime targets for attackers. Being able to quickly diagnose and interpret these errors is a critical skill for any cybersecurity professional. This course builds directly on what you have already learned about file permissions, symbolic and numeric, octal, notation, ownership, and the Linux file system hierarchy. Here, the focus shifts from understanding how permissions work in theory to recognizing what goes wrong in practice and why. What a permission error looks like. When a user or a process attempts to perform an action they are not authorized to do, Linux returns a clear error message. The most common is permission denied. This message appears when a user tries to read, write, or execute a file or directory without having the required rights. It is important to understand that this error does not mean the file does not exist. It means the file exists, but the current user does not have the necessary permissions to interact with it in the requested way. A second common message is operation not permitted. This one is slightly different. It typically appears when a user tries to perform an action that is reserved for the root user, the system administrator, such as changing the ownership of a file using the chown command without superuser privileges. Even if you own the file, certain operations require elevated privileges. A third message you may encounter is no such file or directory. While this may seem unrelated to permissions, it can be caused by a permission error on a parent directory. If a user does not have execute permission on a directory, they cannot traverse it to reach a file inside, and Linux will report the file as not found, even if it exists. The three axes of diagnosis. When you face a permission error, your diagnosis should always cover three questions. Who is trying to perform the action? The current user and their group memberships. What are the permissions set on the file or directory? Read, write, execute for owner, group, and others. Who owns the file or directory? The owner user and the owner group. These three pieces of information together tell you exactly why access is being denied and what needs to change. Reading permissions with LSL. The primary tool for diagnosing permission issues is the ls command with the L flag, which displays a long listing format. For example, RWXRX, 1 Alice Div Team 4096 May 10, 1432 deploy.sh. Breaking this down, the first character indicates it is a regular file, a directory would show D. The next three characters, RWX, are the owner's permissions, read, write, and execute. The following three, RX, are the group's permissions, read and execute, but no write. The last three, dash, are the permissions for all other users, no permissions at all. The owner is Alice and the group is Div Team. If a user named Bob who is not in the Div Team group tries to execute this script, he will receive a permission denied error because he falls into the others category, which has no permissions. If Alice tries to modify the script, she can, because she has write, W permission as the owner. If a member of Div Team tries to run it, they can, because the group has execute, X permission. Directory permissions and common mistakes. A very common source of confusion is directory permissions. Directories have the same three permission types, but they mean something different compared to files. Read, R, on a directory allows listing its contents, using ls. Write, W, on a directory allows creating, deleting, or renaming files inside it. Execute, X, on a directory allows entering it and accessing its contents. This is often called the traverse or search permission. A typical error scenario: a user has read permission on a directory but not execute permission. They can see that files exist inside. LS will show their names, but they cannot read or open those files. Any attempt to do so will result in permission denied. Another common mistake: a developer creates a configuration file owned by root inside a directory owned by root and forgets to give the application user read access. The application then fails to start, and the error log shows permission denied when trying to open the configuration file. Example: DRWXRX, 2 root app group 4096 May 10th 10 o'clock slash etc slash my app slash RW, 1 root 512 May 10th 10 o'clock slash etc slash my app slash config.conference. Here, a user in the API group can enter the slash etc slash my app slash directory, execute on the directory, but they cannot read config.conference because the file is owned by root and only root has read permission on it, RW. The correct fix would be to change the group of the file to app group and give the group read permission or adjust the file permissions. Checking the current user and group memberships. To diagnose permission issues effectively, you must know who you are acting as. The Who Am I command tells you your current username. The ID command gives more detail, including your user identifier, your primary group, and all supplementary groups you belong to. Example output of id. UID equals 1001 Bob, GID equals 1001 Bob, groups equals 1001 Bob, 1003 div team, 1005 Docker. This tells you that Bob belongs to the div team and Docker groups in addition to his own group. If a file is owned by the div team group and has group read permission, Bob can read it. A frequent mistake is adding a user to a new group and expecting the change to take effect immediately in an already open session. Group membership changes require the user to log out and log back in, or start a new shell session, to be reflected in the active sessions token. If Bob was just added to the div team group, he may still get a permission denied error in his current terminal until he opens a new session. SOID, SJID, and the sticky bit, sources of advanced errors. Beyond the basic read, write, execute permissions, Linux has three special permission bits that can cause confusion and, if misconfigured, serious security vulnerabilities. The set user identifier bit, often written SOID, on an executable file causes the file to run with the permissions of the file's owner, not the permissions of the user running it. For example, the password command, used to change passwords, has the SOID bit set and is owned by root, so it can write to the /etc/shadow file even when run by a regular user. In LSL output, the execute bit for the owner is replaced by an SRWSRXRX. If the SOID bit is set on a script or an unexpected binary, this is a significant security risk because any user who runs it temporarily gains the file owner's privileges. Security audits always look for unexpected SOID files. The set group identifier bit, often written SJID, on a file works similarly but applies the group's permissions instead of the owner's. On a directory, the SJID bit means that any new file created inside will inherit the directory's group rather than the creating user's primary group. This is useful for shared project directories but can also be a misconfiguration if not intentional. The sticky bit on a directory restricts deletion. Even if a user has write permission on the directory, they can only delete or rename files they own. The classic example is the /tmp directory, rwxrwxrwt, where everyone can write files but cannot delete other users' files. If the sticky bit is missing from a shared writable directory, any user could delete anyone else's files in it. Using stat for deeper inspection. While LSL gives a quick view, the stat command provides a more detailed breakdown of a file's metadata, including its permissions in both symbolic and numeric format, its owner and group, its inode number, and timestamps. Example. stat/etc/myapp/config.conference. Output might show. File, /etc/myapp/config.conference. Access, 0600/rw, uid, 0/root, gid, 0/root. This confirms the numeric permissions, 0600, the symbolic representation, rw, and that both owner and group are root. This level of detail is essential when diagnosing subtle issues, especially when the LS output is truncated or when you need to confirm special bits. Common real-world scenarios. Scenario 1. A web server cannot read its own configuration file. A web server process runs as the www data user. The configuration file /etc/nayinx/nayinx.conference is owned by root with permissions rw. The server fails to start with a permission denied error. The fix is to either change the group of the file to www data and add group read permission, rwr, or to make the file world readable, rwrr, though the latter is less secure. Scenario 2. A script cannot be executed. A developer writes a shell script and uploads it to the server. They try to run it and get permission denied. The script file has permissions rwrr. There is no execute permission for anyone. The fix is to add execute permission, for example with schmod u plus x script.sh to give the owner execute permission. Scenario 3. A user cannot delete a file they did not create in a shared directory. The /var/shared/directory has the sticky bit set, rwxrwxrwt. A user tries to delete a file created by a colleague and receives permission denied. This is expected and correct behavior. The sticky bit is working as intended. Scenario 4. A security audit finds an unexpected SOID binary. During a penetration test, the tester runs the following command to find all SOID files on the system. Find perm-4000 type f2 /dev/null. This lists all files with a SOID bit set. If an unusual binary appears, not a standard system utility, it could be a backdoor or a misconfigured file that grants unintended privilege escalation. Summary of key diagnostic commands. LSL, file or directory. display permissions, owner, and group in symbolic notation. Stat, file, display detailed metadata including numeric permissions. Who am I? Display the current username. Id, display the current user's identifier, primary group, and all group memberships. Find, perm-4000 type F, find all files with the SOID bit set. Find, perm-2000 type F, find all files with this JID bit set. Find, perm-1000 type D, find all directories with the sticky bit set. Mastering these diagnostic techniques is not just about fixing broken configurations. In a cybersecurity context, it is also about spotting misconfigurations that could be exploited by an attacker. A world-writable configuration file, an unexpected SOID binary, or a directory without a sticky bit in a shared environment are all examples of vulnerabilities that begin with a permission misconfiguration. Diagnosing and correcting these issues is a fundamental part of hardening a Linux system and conducting a security audit.